Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. Now, this is a little bit of a new format that I am testing out and that kind of thing. And I know people prefer 4-minute videos rather than 55-minute videos. And, you know, you subscribe to channels who do that. It's okay. I can give you a little bit of information, maybe a little bit of truth is what you need, and going in depth and really trying to get your head around something is just something a lot of people are not interested in doing. All right, I understand that only about maybe 1% of the population would really even be able to even understand this show, and only about 1% of them would even be able to stand it, you know, like... You know, see right there, just even a righteous cackle. People don't like that. Okay, so I'm going to read our two older articles now. I actually wanted to read them out at one point on the show, but I ran out of time. But the good thing about reading these out loud and debunking them as you go is that the vast majority of the time, the lies and methodology by which the lies are fused and destroyed, and basically, I don't know what the term is. Do they come together? Do they nexus themselves? I don't know what the precise term is. But there's a similar methodology between lots of the BS that you see in all mainstream media, pretty much. Okay, very similar themes, and particularly if you're dealing with one particular topic, like cannabis or fluoride or vaccines or chemtrails, they're often very copy-paste, in some cases literally copy-paste, propaganda pieces that are so easy to see through if you know what you're looking at. Okay, a lot of people do not know because obviously... Mainstream media are going to tell you, hey, this is how we lie to you. This just doesn't work that way, bro. Okay, so on with the first one. Who will be able to get cannabidiol? Is it cannabidiol or cannabidiol? I like it. I like the sound cannabidiol. Yeah. Sounds wonderful, actually. Sounds actually quite tasty. You know, like something you'd order at a restaurant. Gaston, have you got any cannabidiol? Well, yes, sir. We actually just brought some fresh stuff in from France this morning. It wasn't a French accent. I love British villains. Now, who will be able to get cannabidiol prescribed by a doctor and when? He's got a nice big picture here of the medical cannabis protest, which I was invited to but didn't attend. I was trying to edit a video that I've been working on for very long, and I apologise for that. But I did go to the last one and made a nice video for them that, again, nobody bothered to watch. Is this a recurring thing? Am I depressing you, ladies and gentlemen? I'm sorry. I'm not feeling terribly happy. And, in fact, I'm very hungry, and my wife just bought me a pie, which I can't eat on air because I can't talk, and I don't have a guest because both of my guests didn't show up. And the last 3 days, I've been busting my ass since, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, fueled on coffee, like you wouldn't believe, in order to get a video finished for a good friend of mine. So you'll have to forgive me if I feel a little... Oh, and we don't have enough money to pay the rent. And... We don't know how we're going to get groceries for the week, and we haven't paid the internet bill or the power bill. My wife starts a new job next week, so that'll bring in some extra money. But folks, I really just please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and just start giving a dollar a week. into that KiwiBank account, you know? And if it's not just a matter of, oh, Vinny's doing the right thing, he deserves something for the huge amount of efforts that nobody else in this country is making or publicising in any way, shape or form, if that means that I don't deserve any help from you, monetary or otherwise, tell me what will motivate you to support me. Okay? If you go, Vinny, I'll tell you what, if you stop doing 55-minute videos and just do 4 minutes so that it can really easily show it to other people who don't have an attention span or don't want to listen to anything for more than a couple of minutes at a time because the news. Right, this is the thing. The reason why the news holds your attention is because every 30 seconds they say, and now this. Every 30 seconds or so. It's changing from this to that to that. It gives you no time to concentrate. And as a result, the parts of our brains that pay attention for more than 30 seconds atrophy, like a muscle not being used. And so when people sit down and finally listen to an episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show after saying, oh, this is all about conspiracy theories, without ever listening to a single episode, you go, oh my God, there's actually some hell of a lot of information on here. A lot of stuff that I didn't know. A lot of stuff I didn't think about. I might actually keep listening. I might learn something for a change, as opposed to only a few minutes of telling me something I kind of vaguely already know and not really following the thought to its logical conclusion, you know? But of course, it's a struggle, isn't it? You try and tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. Trust me, I know. I've been doing this for 10 years. People do not want to hear the truth. They don't like facts. They prefer opinion and belief. Okay? Because when you're just talking facts, they can't argue with you because they know that you're right. And they don't like that. They don't like having to listen to somebody else who's correct. And that's why I love the listeners of this show, man, because you actually do want to learn. And you go, and a lot of the guests that we have on here, they told me after the shows that the amount of subscribers that they had from that show on the YouTube channel went up massively. The amount of hits that went to their website went up massively. Did the amount of hits on my video or my show go up massively? No. Okay. Am I really sad about that? Absolutely. You know, it's a bugger when you're working really, really hard and don't get appreciated. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, if people did appreciate me too much, it would lessen the motivation, methinks. It's like, you know, there's this whole concept that you need to keep motivated. And in my opinion, one of the greatest ways to keep motivated is knowing that although people aren't helping me, in a lot of cases, at all, and never will, every single person that I help on this show does, in fact, get helped. I can make a difference in people's lives. And I would really appreciate it if people would try to make a difference in mine by giving me a dollar a week, dollar a month. $100 a month would be really nice, actually, right about now. I'm actually just trying to hold it together because it's things are really, really hard right now in this house. The wheels are in motion to allow doctors to prescribe cannabis-based products as a medicine, but it is unclear how long it will be before they can do so regularly. Every single time I see a news story about, oh, the cure for cancer is being developed. Oh, we got this new promising drug or whatever. This is unrelated, by the way. That drug and that cure never gets heard again. All right? So when I'm looking at articles like this, when they go, oh, we're going to have cannabis soon and so on and so forth, and it can do all these things, I'm like, never going to hear it again, am I? On top of procedural steps needed to change the rules, A more difficult issue is the lack of availability of products that meet New Zealand requirements. New Zealand requires one thing. Wheat! And you know what the easiest plant in the world to grow is in any climate? I'll give you three guesses, but you're only going to need one. Wheat! Associate Health Sinister, Peter Dunn, who apparently never finishes, the person who I hate more than John Key, and I use the word hate operatively because I hate positively, I only hate that which is pure evil. Because it gives me, what does my hate give me? What has my hate for Peter Dunn actually ever done for me? What has my hate for John Key ever actually done for me? Other than give me a lot in common with other people who know what they're talking about in terms of politics in this country. You know, maybe my hate hasn't actually given me anything. Other than telling people who think this way that you're not the only ones. Okay? Your hate is justified. These people are scum. He announced on Friday that restrictions will be removed around cannabidiol, CBD. I love it. I'm going to work that into a song or somewhere. Cannabidiol. A substance with therapeutic value found in cannabis, but with little to no psychoactive properties. Now, I remember interviewing Matt Bowden, one of the creators of party pills and synthetic cannabis and stuff like that. I don't know what people's opinions of that stuff is. I don't like it. But he was in Ireland this one time, and they banned all psychoactives there. And I found that interesting that all the active psychos decided to ban the psychoactives. You know, just didn't see that coming. Up until now, CBD, otherwise known as the Central Business District, has been classed as a controlled drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act. The 76, 78? We haven't revised our drug laws in 40 years. Since before I was even freaking a zygote. All right, like, bro, that's how backward this place is. Hate this country sometimes, man. Hate it. But only because of people like this are in charge of creating its policies. People like Peter Dunn need to have their political career end. Okay? In as quick and succinct a fashion as possible. Possibly followed by a treason trial and execution. But you know, I'm getting my hopes up. Cabinet has decided it should cease to be a controlled drug. That means doctors will be able to prescribe CBD to their patients, and it can be supplied the same way as other prescription medicines. Now, in case you don't know, folks, Kiwis I'm talking about specifically, the Misuse of Drugs Act already had outlined in its legislation that if a doctor wanted to prescribe it to you, they fucking could. But do any fucking doctors prescribe any weed to anybody who freaking asks for it in this country, even though it's legal to do so? No. Why? Because they go, oh, well, I'll have so many stoners wanting to come to my practice wanting weed. Yeah, oh, what a terrible thing. You'd have people come into your practice getting medicine? You're a doctor. You don't have to put up with that. medicine. What does it even mean? Is the definition of medicine not giving a fuck? Like, bro. Oh, my God. Give me a second. When will it cease to be a controlled drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act? There is no timetable.
What a big surprise!
But Dunn's office is saying, as soon as possible. In air quotes. As soon as possible. Oh, God. This is like, seriously, listen to Peter Dunn or John Key, Obama, you know, speak. just cracks me up, bro, because it's just the most blatant lies and misrepresentations and scumbaggery that you ever see. You ever listen to somebody, but you're not actually listening, you're just waiting for them to say something that you disagree with so you can choose to stop listening to them? That's me and Peter Dunne, that's me and John Key, except I continue to listen to them and then expose their scumbaggery after every single word that they say. I don't know why I do this. Doesn't actually really give me much pleasure. Certainly isn't profitable. It needs to be done, and somebody's got to do it. And a lot of times in this country, you know, I see media articles come out, and I see a lot of the activist community doing what I consider the real work, going into the legislation with a fine-tooth comb, and pencil and a ruler and so on and so forth, and finding out and deconstructing everything that these pieces of legislation freaking actually say, you know, because they don't write in English. They write in legalese, okay? It's a totally different language. And ultimately, when you're dealing with a cult will always develop its very own language so that members who are not part of the cult won't understand what the hell they're talking about, so that the cult members, when they're out in public, can continue to communicate with each other without being exposed for the cult that they are. That's why a lot of cultists deny being in a cult, because they've got their own language which tells them that the cult is not a cult. Legalese. The legal system. Government. These are cults. How do I know that they're cults? They've got a central authority figure. They ostracize outsiders. They're often held in places that have fluorescent lighting and involve a lot of mindless repetition. Okay? These are cult indoctrination techniques, and I'm pretty sure all of you have gone through them, just like I did through public school. And now you're all suffering a slightly watered-down version of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, one of the symptoms of which is learned helplessness. So that because you've been taught over your lifetime that nothing you do can change what these people can do to you, you stop trying to stand up for your rights. You stop trying to fight back against them because you've learned through the exercise of power against you that you were incapable of changing, that to try and challenge authority is not only a bad idea, but something that will never work. And this is something that cult indoctrination techniques are used specifically to instill into the population so that these scum can continue to rule over us without much resistance. And they've been doing, sad to say, a remarkable job. And folks, I don't know how to untraumatize you, okay? I don't even know how to untraumatize myself. I'm dealing with really, really bad traumas in my life. And when I say dealing with, I mean doing the exact same thing that every other person with complex PTSD does. Trying to push it into the side, trying to avoid those situations again, and trying to not bring them up again. All right? Because they're too painful to really revisit. And that's why traumatized people are so easy to control. Okay. That's why they become counselors and mediators and things like that, because instead of resolving their own issues, because their brain tells them they can't, they try to help other people. It's the precise same thing what I'm doing here right now. I'm acting out of a mental disorder that is caused by trauma by the state. Most of us are. And we better get wise to that fact, that our own minds have been programmed to work against us. And that through a long period of time and hardship, we may be able to recover. May. Most people never recover from the traumas that they suffer in their life. Never. Mostly because they don't believe that they can and they never try. Dunne's spokesman said a regulatory change was needed, not a legislative one. So it could be done relatively quickly. Now, he said regulatory change, not a legislative one. Legalese language. What does that mean? Technically, I don't know. It could be something to do with the fact that it's already legal to give weed to patients as a doctor. Already legal. But the regulations, on the other hand, prevent them from ever doing it. And the, what would you call them? Sorry, I'm very, very starving right now. It's actually very difficult to think when you don't have food. Coffee instead, then. What are some of the other hurdles, other than Peter Dunn's dead body being driven over by a concrete mixing truck? For a doctor to be able to prescribe CBD, it will have to have 2% or less of other cannabinoids. Dunn said there was a, quote, limited range of CBD products made available that were made to a suitable quality. Oh, you're so obsessed with quality, aren't you? It couldn't be maybe you're using quality in air quotes here and the term limited in more air quotes here as an excuse for why there's actually going to be no movement on this issue until Peter Dunn dies of a coronary. You know, let me start again. Clinicians would be likely to only prescribe products made to quality manufacturing standards, Dunn said. Could patients just import their own CBD product or maybe grow weed themselves for free in their backyard with the beautiful New Zealand sun that has extra UV radiation that comes through it thanks to the hole in the ozone layer? Which, incidentally, you know why New Zealand's got the strongest weed, ladies and gentlemen? The cannabis plant reacts to protect itself from radiation, UV radiation specifically, by growing extra cannabinoid crystals on its bud to reflect the sunlight. Hence, if you grow weed outdoors in a country like New Zealand that has a massive hole in the ozone layer that can burn you if you're out in the sun for more than 5 minutes at a time in the middle of summer, you're going to have some pretty strong gowns, bro. And we do. Not that Peter Dunn really gives a crap about that. God, I hate this guy. And could patients just import their own CBD product? In that case, the patient's clinician would still need to get Ministry of Health approval to prescribe the product, and an import license would be needed. There's the correction, sorry. It is legal for a doctor to prescribe you cannabis in any form, but he has to get Ministry of Health approval. And since the 1970s, when the Misuse of Drugs Act was brought in, do you know how many permissions have been given up until very recently? Zero. Now, a couple of people recently, I think maybe it's only been in the last maybe year or two, that the Ministry of Health has been making exceptions because, you know, it got legalized in America, legalized and blah, 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 blah. All sorts of things are coming out, and it's all in the media. They legalized in Australia, you know, and we're so far behind the eight ball here because we're basically a corrupt island boss hog nation. Man, I'm really insulting to New Zealand, aren't I? And New Zealanders. Should do that more often. Now, so what's the point? According to Dunn, the change will streamline the process. Quote, streamline the process. I hate it when they use air quotes for things that Peter Dunn says because I can hear them in his voice, in my head, and I want to kill something. So violent. Not enough weapons. For access to suitable products when they become available. When they become available. If they become available. He talked about one product called Epidiolex. Epidiolex? Sounds like a very fancy wristwatch. Which is in clinical trials. Clinical trials? I hate it when they talk about that. Oh, we're going to make trials. Dude. Okay. Ancient pharaohs have been dug up out of their tombs with weed on them. Okay? What are you going to do? Put the mummy in handcuffs? Throw him in death row? You don't need testing. Nature has tested it. It's tried and true. Everybody freaking knows that weed is good for you. Well, when I say everybody, I mean people who aren't freaking retards who believe what the government and Peter Dunn says. It takes time for products to go through the research and developmental processes. Still hearing that Peter Dunn voice? Oh, it's hard to tolerate. Oh. Which includes critical trials to establish evidence for the effectiveness of a product and for its safety for particular patient groups, Dunn said, which they do not have to do for vaccination, mind you. And they also don't do it for antidepressant drugs, mind you. But for cannabis, something that hasn't killed anybody in 10,000 years of recorded usage, oh mate, we're going to have some trials, you know, just make sure it's safe. Prescriptions for 3 months' supply will be allowed, rather than the 1 month that has been the rule. What is CBD good for? In 2015, Dunn approved the use of US-made CBD product Elixinol for Alex Renton, 19, who then frickin' died because the Ministry of Health and Peter Dunn took their sweet effing time getting his approval fast-tracked. Government and fast-tracked, I don't think those things belong in a sentence together. His mother, Rose Renton, had campaigned to be able to use medicinal cannabis in her son's treatment in the hope it would reduce mysterious seizures he was suffering and bring him out of a coma. Now, if anybody's seen the little YouTube video Charlotte's Web, where they give a little girl who's giving 100 seizures a day or something like that. 100 seizures a day. You can imagine, as a parent, you know, you're seeing your child go through that kind of thing every day. And then you go to the government and you say, hey, look, you guys have kept this drug illegal. This can stop my baby from having these seizures all day, every freaking day. You're destroying my life by keeping this stuff illegal and making it difficult to access. You might actually wind up killing my child because they couldn't access their medicine. Because you've got indoctrination, propaganda, and corporate interests to consider. What do I mean by corporate interests? Well, how many products can you make from the cannabis plant that are currently made from other sources involving oil, wood, plastics, and things of that nature? We're all oil derivatives anyway. About 50,000 different industrial products. You can make car paneling, fireproof doors, pet food, pet bedding, concrete. I mean, anything you can frickin' think of that we use in the modern day that is made with poison and is sold at a huge profit with enormous environmental degradation can be made with cannabis without any of those negative consequences. Why is it illegal, I wonder? Competition is a sin. Who said that? Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller, who's the creator of the Trilateral Commission, creator of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, no, sorry, that's David Rockefeller who did that. I'm talking about his dad. Incidentally, most of the people who are part of those big evil clubs are in Trump's cabinet. Oh, he's going to save you from the New World Order, is he? Oh, he's going to make America great again, is he? You brilliant researchers, you in the alternative media. Oh, you didn't totally mislead your audience at all just to get and jump on the winning bandwagon for the ratings, did you? You didn't do that at all, did you? In December 2016, Auckland woman Dr. Huhana Hickey received approval to use cannabis extract. I'm actually having her on in a couple of weeks, actually. Extract Tilray to help with treatment for multiple sclerosis. Now, she's in a wheelchair, and I met her at the cannabis protest, I think, in 2016. And she had to have myself and another guy help her up out of that wheelchair so she could get to the little microphone stand to speak. You know, the strength of this woman. Pretty remarkable that she go through that kind of suffering and have the pains and things that she does and then come out to protest and stand up to speak, you know, that kind of thing when it could be easier to just sit down. You know, the sacrifices that are made by the people in the cannabis activism community cannot be overestimated, nor can the potentials of the cannabis plant, nor can the harm that is being caused every single second of every single day that Peter Dunn keeps this plant illegal in this country. Every second, somebody with an illness that could be treated with cannabis is in pain because of Peter Dunn. Every moment, somebody dies when their life could have been saved with cannabis because of Peter Dunn. Every moment, a family is torn apart and destroyed when their breadwinner gets arrested with a 50 bag on him because of Peter Dunn. Sorry, I'm getting emotional about this, folks. Yeah, it's a real personal issue for me because it's the reason why I am traumatized is because of the cannabis laws in this country, not because of the cannabis. It's being arrested for it will damage you a hell of a lot more than smoking a pound of it in a week. Because you can't smoke a pound in a night, mind you, because you have to smoke... What was it? You had to smoke 7 pounds in 60 seconds or something ridiculous like that in order to die from cannabis. And that means that by the time you smoked half an ounce, if you're a real hard smoker, that is... I couldn't do that. You fall asleep, okay? Ga-doomsh! Okay, that's the side effect of cannabis. Happy, hungry, thirsty, sleepy. Oh man, this sounds really dangerous. What happened to you on your pharmaceutical drugs over there, mate? Well, I had seizures, I tried to kill myself, I tried to kill my loved ones, I had debilitating stomach cramps, I was bleeding out my asshole. You know, it was fine, bro. You know, that's an approved drug. Mate. Also, last year, Dunn approved a non-pharmaceutical-grade cannabis product called Aceso? Calm Spray.
Aceso. Aceso, come over here, man.
For a patient with a severe case of Tourette's syndrome.
Kill Peter Dunn! Kill Peter Dunn!
And that's probably why they gave him the... crack me up. I do. In a 2016 submission, the Ministry of Health said Epidiolex, a pharmaceutical-grade CBD product, was undergoing clinical trials in the US in the hope it could be used to treat rare forms of epilepsy such as Dravet syndrome or Dreyer syndrome. Now, research indicates that CBD would have several therapeutic applications. Some of the effects that have been reported to date include anti-seizure, neuroprotective, anti-inflammatory, analgesic, I don't know what analgesic? Holy Jesus. Antipsychotic and anti-anxiety effects, the ministry said. In other words, it could replace almost every single pharmaceutical drug
in existence.
What's the most profitable companies in the world, you ask? What? It turns out to be pharmaceutical companies. Dollar for dollar, they're the most profitable business on earth. You know why? Because the shit that they give you costs nothing to produce and doesn't have any effect, and they don't even have to prove that it works, and they don't get prosecuted when they kill you or hurt you or destroy you, and their products are addictive. So you can't get off of them once you're on them. What drug has no commonalities with that entire structure? You guessed it, cannabis. But at the time it said more clinical trials were needed to confirm its effectiveness.
Oh my god! Oh god!
Lord, spare me. I'm not religious, but my God.
We need more clinical trials.
Is 10,000 years of human history not good enough for you, Ken? I mean, how'd you get...
A paper prepared by Dr. Keith Bedford last year for the Expert Advisory Committee on Drugs said there was limited evidence suggesting cannabis could be used to reduce medical treatment side effects. Oh, there's little evidence, is it? Is that by chance because the drugs are legal and you can't study things and prove that they work when they're
illegal?
Maybe. Maybe. That's the reason why they keep saying they need clinical trials all the time, which never happen and never produce any results and never get released to the public because it's frickin' illegal and you can't do it. Side effects such as nausea and vomiting during chemotherapy, which kills 96% of everybody who takes it. Look it up. It is the number one cause of death for cancer patients is chemotherapy. 50,000 New Zealand dollars a round. And the New Zealand doctors who prescribe chemo, and only chemo as a preventative, and well, not preventative, but as a you know, possible treatment. They don't call it a cure. They don't call it medicine. They call it a treatment, you know, like sewage treatment, you know. Nausea, vomiting during chemotherapy, improved appetite in people with HIV/AIDS, and in the treatment of chronic pain and muscle spasms. Now, I think that all of these things are pretty straightforward, right? It works for nearly everything. It's a panacea. Okay? What's a panacea? Okay, well, in cannabis's case, it's a transmutable molecule. All right? Transmute means it changes into something else. So, you're born with cannabis receptors in your cells, right? From birth. There's cannabinoids in your mother's milk. Okay, what does it do? The cannabinoid system in your body, the endocannabinoid system, cannabinoids from within, regulates everything. Okay, regulates the construction of your cells, regulates how your skin replaces and heals itself, regulates how your liver functions, and so on. Everything in your entire body is regulated by your endocannabinoid system. It is a part of the reason why we seem to change our physiology so much quicker when we're put into different situations. All right? Animals have this too. So what happens then when you get a transmutable molecule like the cannabinoid molecule or a cannabidiol molecule or a tetrahydrocannabidiol molecule? THC, is the body sends a signal from its cell. Let's say you're deficient in magnesium, for example, just a random example. The cell will send a signal to that cannabinoid molecule and tell it, I need magnesium. The cannabinoid molecule will then readjust and morph its entire chemical structure and then insert itself into the cell, its cell receptor, and inject a synthetic form of whatever the cell is craving into it. Why do you think cannabis works for frickin' pretty much everything? Pretty much everything. You got cancer? Rick Simpson cannabis oil. Gone! You got multiple sclerosis? You can barely walk or whatever? Smoke a joint. Gone! Walking faster than I can, all right? And I'm not joking about this. My mate Barry, he has multiple sclerosis. As one time we were walking up Queen Street together, and he was, like, looking, going slow and really hard, really, actually, finding it really quite tough to go up the street. And so I gave him a cone, and I practically had to jog to keep up with the bastard. I mean, seriously, stuff works that well. You know, I wish people would be a little bit more open-minded about this, because there's so many people with MS. a lot of people that I know personally, actually, who refuse to use cannabis to treat their condition because of the propaganda from people like Peter Dunn. You know, these people suffer on a daily basis because of the lies, in no small part, of Peter Dunn. Right? And now they're saying, oh, we're going to give you this and everything. No, they're freaking not. Not while he's still alive. Okay? Not while he's still alive, you know?
Over my dead body!
People will live over his dead body. Have I been making too many references to Peter Dunn's death in this broadcast? I certainly hope so. A product called Sativex, a spray derived from strains of cannabis containing a mixture of THC and CBD, had been approved by MedSafe in this country as an add-on treatment for improvement of symptoms and patents with moderate to severe spasticity due to MS who had not responded adequately to other antispasticity medication. Now, the thing about this is Sativex... $500 for a monthly supply, okay? And it's the same thing with this cannabidiol products and things that they're trying to give up. These people who are sick and in many cases can't work because they're so sick and wouldn't be able to earn a living without this medication, dude, they make the medication prohibitively expensive on purpose, okay? If you want... a dangerous painkiller. Let's say Panadol kills more people in this country than alcohol verge. You know, no, I'm just kidding. Nothing kills people more people in New Zealand than alcohol. 1,000 people a year. Well, apart from the medical industry, of course. But that's beside the point. That's a side issue. So what they do is they make it prohibitively expensive, and then the government gives subsidies to a whole bunch of other scumbaggery companies and medications and things like that that kill people. Okay, so that you can't afford to purchase the stuff that'll help you, but you'll be given the stuff that will kill you for free because they stole your tax money to do so. New Zealand. Love ya. How about manufacturing CBD products in New Zealand? Not in a hurry, it would seem. According to Dunn, the law only allows domestic cultivation and manufacture of cannabis-based products for clinical trials. I'm hamstringed by the law. I'm only a parliamentarian that passes laws on a daily basis. I don't know what I could possibly do about that. just die. Peter Dunn. Okay. I don't pray. I'm not a Christian. I'm not religious at all. I tried to be secular. God, please help Peter Dunn to meet you quicker, just like today, preferably tomorrow. It doesn't matter, as long as it's soon. Thank you. Amen. Now, so it will be up to doctors to decide who can have CBD products and what form? Yes. And Dunn said they needed to make informed decisions. Doctors make an informed decision. Like, for example, reading a vaccine insert, you know, might be qualified as making some kind of informed decision. You know, oh, it's got side effects including death and autism. Oh, on the label, you say? On the Gardasil? And we're going to give that to kids? Yep, it's informed consent. All right, bugger it. Is it subsidised by people's tax money? Yep, absolutely. So I can give this incredibly poisonous, dangerous, untested product that is known to kill kids to them for free? Yep, absolutely. And you'll spend taxpayer money on huge propaganda campaigns to brainwash the public into fear of having diseases in order to get them the vaccines again? Oh, absolutely. Mate, it's just informed consent all over. Informed decisions like a motherfucker. Just like they did for all medicines. Informed decisions like they do with all medicines. Oh, I'm so disrespectful. If a doctor does not think there is adequate clinical evidence that the potential risks outweigh the potential benefits, or that there simply is not enough information to be assured of the composition and quality of a particular product, they should not prescribe it. And guess what happens when you keep a drug illegal so that clinical trials can't be conducted? And make the law so that you can't grow any weed in New Zealand to supply anybody either. Well, then they can't be assured that the composition or quality of the particular product is going to be prescribed. You know? One hand inside the other. Oh, God. I'm just thinking a lot of all the people who are suffering right now because they don't have their cannabis. Right, think about it, bro. I need my medicine. I want to live without pain, excruciating pain that impedes me from living my life and having this thing called quality of life, which doctors apparently don't give two flying F's about in this country. Quality of life, you say? What's that? Will the government fund CBD products? Anyone can make an application to PharmAct to fund a cannabis-based product or products. Done said, which meaning no. No. Okay. They are constitutionally incapable of telling the truth. All right. And we're given a frickin' straight answer. Application to PharmAct. It just pass the buck. Not my responsibility. I'm the Associate Minister of Health. I had an agreement 10 years in a row with every single successive government to not change the cannabis laws. And who are they now putting in charge of to regulate the cannabis laws so that people can get their cannabis? The man who kept it illegal this whole frickin' time and is dragging his feet like a frickin' corpse chained to a frickin' chariot. I wish I could be calmer. I wish I had a lot more positive outlook. But unfortunately, I have this thing called experience. On to another article now from nzdoctor.co.nz. We only have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast, don't we? How long is this article? Not that long. Rail on fluoride. Oh God. It's just a... Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to read you what I just read with my eyes. Okay. Health Minister Jonathan Coleman and Associate Minister, Health Minister Peter Dunn. All right. Those two names together. Okay. They're like the Abbott and Costello of scumbaggery in the health sector of New Zealand. All right. Without compare. And they're just like a tag team of scumbags. All right. Here's the headline. 12 million to fluoridate more drinking water. Yep, that's right. Hey, New Zealand, you've got the highest house prices. You've got the highest homeless population per capita. Nobody will be able to afford to buy a home. Your food prices are amongst the highest in the OECD. We're just going to spend 12 million of your taxpayers to give you a level 6 biotoxin delivered into your frickin' water supply. You know, just why not? Why not? Budget 2017 has committed $12 million over 4 years to fund the infrastructure needed to fluoridate more drinking water, says Health Sinister Jonathan Coleman and Associate Health Sinister Peter Dunn. Quote, while New Zealand's oral health has improved dramatically over the last 30 years, we still have high rates of preventable tooth decay, says Dr. Coleman. Because we didn't adopt the Scottish Child Smile program that forces the kids to learn about nutrition and their parents and supervises brushing of their teeth and gives them free dental visits and they've got better teeth than ours. What's the New Zealand solution of that? I'll just dump more chemical waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry into people's drinking water. You know, what could possibly go frickin' wrong? Public drinking water currently supplies about 85% of the population. Of those on public water supplies, 50% receive fluoridated water. And 54%. And that's because, you know, Fluoride Action Network managed to convince a couple of councils to get that stuff out of there, you know, using this thing called evidence! Increasing access to fluoridated water will improve oral health. And no, it won't, because... there's no evidence of any kind to prove conclusively that fluoride has any improvement on teeth. Okay, even the frickin' CDC, right, who are the ones who say that this is the greatest health achievement of the 20th century, admit that it doesn't do anything if you swallow it. What do the sinisters of health want to do about that fact, on the other hand? Sweep it under the frickin' carpet. Frickin' believable. And mean fewer costly trips to the dentist, as opposed to the dental fluorosis that gets caused by water fluoridation that dentists are now making more money at fixing than they are tooth decay, which is caused by sugary products, which Peter Dunne has no plans on educating the public about. You know, how sugar's bad for your teeth. You know, apparently the public doesn't know this. Partly because the Ministry of Health doesn't tell them, and they take money from the sugar industry, most likely, and campaign donations. One can only hope. This change would benefit over 1.4 million New Zealanders who live in areas where network community water supplies are not currently fluoridated. Okay, which means they're going to forcibly fluoridate everybody, because they're passing a new law that, what was it? Oh, I'll just continue reading this. Budget 2017 funding commitment will support the implementation of legalisation currently before the House, says Mr Dunne. The Health Fluoridation of Drinking Water Amendment Bill recognises that water fluoridation is a health-related issue and moves the decision-making process from local councils to DHBs. Okay, local councils, fully elected, accountable to elections, right? DHBs, partially elected, mostly appointed, and have to follow the mandates of the Ministry of Health. Oh, it's a health issue, is it? Now, is it by chance illegal under the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Law Code to... Well, I wouldn't say illegal. They're not laws. They're just general guidelines. Don't poison people. Don't kill them without consent. You know, those kind of things. You know, sound like pretty reasonable rules. Can you be prosecuted for breaking them, on the other hand? Nah! And I've already gone over this as well. Okay, it's mass fluoridation by stealth. Okay, that's what these people do. And when they release these press releases, you just see to yourself, okay, what kind of BS are they going to go, oh, look, they're making a claim and provide no evidence. Oh, they're making another claim and provide no evidence. Oh, they're making another claim and provide no evidence as well. Blah, 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 blah. And just repeat. And repeat. Just forever, endlessly. I'm sick of these people. You know, I mean, I'm a real person. I like having real conversations where that actually go somewhere, where information actually gets exchanged, listened to on both sides, that kind of thing. But when you're a propagandist and the entirety of your mental faculty is dedicated to lying so that you can protect the amount of power that you currently have and did not earn and do not use responsibly... I got no respect for these people. None. Zero. And it's what's really strange is that I kowtow to them when I'm with them in person. Oh, thank you, Minister, for saying this and blah, 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 and for coming here. I've only got one quick question or whatever. Maybe I should just yell at these people next time. Maybe I should just take a megaphone so that I don't have to wait for them to pass around the microphone just so I can ask a question, which he won't answer. Maybe disrupting everything that these people say while they're saying it, just like I'm doing here, you know, reading out their lies and exposing them line by line. Maybe that's the way to do it, to show these people that not only will they not be listened to, they won't be believed, and they will not be respected, and they will be interrupted. And if they want to come to public meetings to lie to people, they're going to find a little bit more than they bargained for. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who do listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show regularly. I really appreciate you, you know, sharing these shows around. And a lot of the Kiwis that support me who recognise the value of this show and how unique it is in the New Zealand atmosphere to have people telling the truth like this with our completely compromised media and ultimately compromised alternative media as well. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And please start up a regular donation into that Kiwi Bank, New Zealanders. All right, $1 a week, anything you want. See you again sometime.